This is Underground Uppers. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 121. Man, been doing this a while. That's kind of my little, I've been telling you all last few episodes that I'm going to take a little couple weeks off after releasing Hoosier and taking it out on the road. My latest single, Hoosier, taking it out on the road, and got a video scheduled to be made for it. I'm going to relax a couple of weeks. So you'll have to do without me for a couple of weeks. I know you got to be devastated. I mean, how could you not live? How are you going to live without Undergroundopolis? I wouldn't want to be you. Anyway, Undergroundopolis presents the local ruckus with an evening with Proles. Proles will be returning, and if you were at the last one, you know how great of a show these cats put on, man. They are so good. And at 21st in Germantown, 1481 South Shelby Street, Louisville, Kentucky. Be sure to be there. $5 tickets goes directly to the band. Undergroundopolis keeps none of it. We don't take anything from the bands at all. We just give them a place to play. And it's a cool venue. And if you haven't been there yet, you should come. You should at least go down there because, you know, I'm in tight with them, obviously. And, yes, going to be taking that break. And going to have kittens. You know, y'all going to want a kitten. If you hear them, that's because they're right over there. I can't get away from them. They're starting to walk, and you know you need a kitten. You need four kittens, by God, to take them all in one sweep from me. It just had to be hatched out in my closet. None of the other closets in the house, mine. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'm going to bring my guest right on, man. This is going to be really, really special because he's the last one before break. And I'll just go ahead and make a public announcement. When that tornado hit a few weeks ago, he was my guest, but I was out of power. And this is him being nice enough to make it up to me. Tell us who you are, where you're from.
Hey, Rob. I'm Ryan English from Key Flight Captains out of Houston, Texas.
Well, all right. How's the weather down there right now? You was gloating about it a minute ago.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day today, for sure. No tornadoes over here, but lots of cats.
Don't you want to take when you get out on the road here soon? Don't you want to come through Louisville and take four cats back with you?
Oh man, I think we dubbed this the cat farm. So no, I would love to, but yeah, I think I'm at my parents' house, and you know, I have a studio in the back, and what it is, you know, they have at least 16 cats, if not more. So it's a plethora of kittens and older cats as well. So. Nice weather day over here in Houston, Texas. A little hot, but it's all right.
Well, tell me about Heartstrings. Tell me all about it. Give me all the juicy details.
Juice. All right. Let's see. So Heartstrings, you know, we've had this riff, we had the riff for Heartstrings kicking around since about COVID, you know, right when COVID hit. And we hung on to it, like paused, you know, for a little bit, as everybody did. And we took the song up to Ohio, and we tracked it with this guy named Jim Wart. And Jim Wart, he's a producer. Some would say multi. What's the word I'm looking for? Anyways, he's an award-winning producer. So we worked with him and did about five songs, and heartstrings was one of them. So we went up to Ohio about November 2020, and you know, it was a great experience. Jim Ward, a quick little background on him, that producer, he worked with Hoobastank. He did their first record, the self-titled one, which isn't their first record, but I think it's like their first major release. And then he did Incubus. He did the first like two albums, you know, with them.
Wow.
And he did Alien Ant Farm. A lot of the 2000, like early 2000s bands, you know. And we've always been really like, we just love the production style of that era. So you know, we were like, oh dude, we get like looking on the back of like album covers and doing research and stuff, and we're like, dude, like, let's just message him, you know. So we messaged his team, and they got back to us, and we're like, yeah, you know, 2 weeks, you think y'all could come up here, because it's tight schedule. And we're like, 2 weeks, I don't think so. Like, you know, we were like, I don't know about that, because we didn't have any of the, like, we had like 25 demos, and like Heartstrings we knew like is one of the ones we felt really strongly about, but all the rest of them we didn't. So we go there, and I sent him stuff like beforehand, but he didn't have time to check it out. So we go there, and dude, we're just like, you know, trying to write this stuff as we're there, and it's just, we had no pre-production time. It was like pre-pro in the studio cutting it. We got to get it done in like 5 days. So we did our best, and it came out okay. But when we got home and got the mixes and stuff, we were pretty disappointed, and said, you know, we had a meeting, and we're like, dude, we can do better. Like, honestly, you know, maybe if we can take some of the tracks that we did over there and then either add to them or take some out and just redo them. That's what we ended up doing. So on Heartstrings, we used all of his like production techniques and stuff, but we basically took the song and just scratched it and started from the ground up. So the riff is the same. Everything's the same except the verses and then the mix and all that stuff. So we're pretty adamant about that. But then, you know, it kind of fell onto, we have all the stuff here. Why are we even going anywhere? Like, we could just do it here. We just got a little excited there, you know. We're like, oh, you know, geeking out. Probably geeked out too much on him. You know, he probably was like, these kids, they keep asking me about Incubus and Hoobastank, and you know what I mean? So, you know, it was an experience, and we definitely loved the experience, you know, and would definitely work with them again. You just, beforehand, we need to pre-pro and get everything like the way we want it, you know? So, but yeah, that's a little about Heartstrings. I guess, you know, we could talk about like the meaning if you're down, like, or you know,
oh, where, yeah,
kind of, I'm pretty sure that was like your initial question. Heartstrings is you know, it's just one of those things, like you're in a toxic relationship and you know you want to get away from it, but at the same time you don't, you know, you're being pulled, you know, every which way it's got its strings, you know, attached, and it's hard to get away from that. And, you know, you keep going through the same motions and stuff like that, but at a certain point you break free, you know, and that's pretty much the song in a nutshell. It's, you know, breaking free from those, basically, you know, being a puppet, you know, and just all that stuff, really. It's just about toxicness in a relationship and getting away from that. That's all it really is about. And honestly, it came out of the sky. Like, we had the riff, and all I had was like, you know, what I do usually is like I hum something, like, and then words just kind of fall out of my mouth. So like one of the ones was the chorus is like, how did I know this wouldn't last? I don't know. Like, I didn't have the, like, oh, I'm going to write about heartstrings, or I'm going to write about like this and that. It was just random thing that came out of my head whenever I was writing that riff. So I was like, all right, I'm just gonna, like, now I have the chorus line, now I need to put a story behind it, you know. And I kind of used a lot of real life stuff going on, you know, and that's kind of how it formed, really. Is just out of the sky, and wasn't really about something particularly, but I made it kind of about something.
Right.
So that's the. Do what now?
Are you the? What is your position in the band?
I am the vocalist / guitar player, and we're a three piece.
Okay. Yeah, you're a three piece. I was gonna say you're a three piece. I wanted to bring that up because that's hard.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard. Three piece. But non-musicians outside looking in don't realize that it's hard to be a three-piece.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man.
It's tough. It's a lot of work. It's more work. Seems like it's less arguments, though.
Less arguments, less, you know, more money, less, you know, like there's a whole bunch of pluses to it, but there's also drawbacks as well. You know, we take on more workload, you know, than, you know, mm-hmm. having more members. But I think the one thing that keeps me, like, okay with it is that I'm pretty ADD, and, like, I'm pretty, like, I'm a multi guy, you know what I mean? Like, I play drums and bass and all that other stuff, but, like, having, like, that thought process when I'm singing and I'm playing, you know, I kind of can do it without really thinking about it anymore, you know? And then the lyrics and stuff, if it's something, like, new, then yeah, like, I may struggle a bit, just because it's like, you know, you're trying to remember that, but at the same time, that's not what it's about. You know, when you're playing live, it's, for us, it's about connecting with the audience, you know, and, you know, having a good time. You know, and you can't have a good time when you're sitting there stressed out about lyrics, or, you know, about this song or this and that. Like, it just makes it really, you know, not fun. So we're all about having fun and feeling comfortable up there and connecting with our audience, you know? So that's generally, like, how I look at it. Yeah, it's multiple things going on. I mean, we have to remember lyrics, sing them in key and in time, and entertain, you know, connect with the audience, then also you know, do, like, some crowd involvement stuff, you know, get them to kind of, you know what I mean, it's just a lot. Like, that's just one thing. Then we got guitar stuff, so you're, like, sitting there trying to tune and make sure everything's good there, and then, you know, make sure everything's, you know, all my amps and stuff aren't crapping out. And, you know, of course, I'm, like, the kind of guy that when we roll out, like, our full Key Flight production, you know, if we're doing, like, a hometown, like a headliner, you know, that's when I use my 2 4x12s, and I have that kind of set up, and, you know, we use, like, an 8x10, and then there you go, like, we have a full production set up, and that's us. But then, like, if we're doing something like we have a fast changeover and we need to, like, just hop on in front of people, like, open or slide or whatever the deal is, like, it'd be make a lot of sense to not have no 2 4x12s and all this stuff to haul up there, you know? So something simple, a little digital, like, you know, little HX stomp or something like that, we'll get the job done.
You take your line 6. No, I'm just kidding.
No, like, trust me, I'm an analog guy. You know, as far as, like, everything goes, I'm so at it. My band and the engineers that we've worked with and stuff hate me because I'm, like, I was so adamant about putting my 4x12s on the thing. I got 2 5150s, you know, and I pair them up and run them stereo, you know, and I have a stereo rig, essentially, because I'm like, if we don't have another guitar player, you know, I want the sound to be thick. And I, like, pester the sound guy, like, hey, dude, can you, like, run it stereo? You know, like, put 2 mics on each one on each cab and then just run it stereo. And most of the time they're like, hell yeah, you know. And then sometimes dudes are just mean about it, but I understand it's a lot of, like, hassle for, like, you know, 15-minute changeovers and stuff. But yeah, I'm adamant about analog gear, and you know, we in the studio for sure we use all analog stuff. We don't, I mean, not the converters. Obviously, we have to get into digital domain somehow. But everything up until that point is all analog. You know, we use real amps, mic to speaker, and then drum set. We do real drums. You know, mics everywhere, and you know, we cut it that way, and bass the same thing. You know, mic to speaker, and direct in as well, and stuff like that. But live setup, yeah, we definitely like to, you know, scale it in production. Like if it's like a little rinky dink show we got to do, you know, and we're opening, why would we, you know, carry around on this huge thing and piss everybody off? You know, we just want to get in and get out, you know, and have a good time while we're doing it.
Yeah, I bet it's loud.
Yeah, that's, dude, they don't ever get past two. Like I can't ever turn them up past, really? Two. Like even in practice space or rehearsals or recording, you know, like it's, the amps are so damn powerful that it's,
yeah,
it's overwhelming. Live, like they yell at me like, turn down, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, sure. But I at this point, until we have the in-ear monitors that we're fixing to get, like that whole thing, like I was using them as monitors, you know, for my guitar. So
right.
You know, I've had them about two. You know, anything past that is just, it's super loud. I mean, that it, they could shake the place. They could shake the place without even being mic'd up. I do use one of them is a 5150 combo head from like 1998 or something, and I just basically cut it in half and took the two little 12s out of underneath them. And I put a piece of wood underneath that head, and I use a 412 crate Blue Voodoo, which is, it's all vintage 30s in there from like 1994 or 5. And man, at that cab, just then that in that head, that's my secret sauce. The other one's just a 6505 120 watt head with the matching like 5150 cab PV made. And has the Sheffields and stuff. This sounds okay, but the other one's the sauce. So
I love that. Crate.
Yeah, Crate, dude. I mean, back in the 90s, they're pretty on it, you know. So
I've got a Crate 410 bass amp, and it's heavy. Okay. It's heavy to get around, but it still sounds great. It looks like hell. Still, but it still sounds just bad. One of the speakers is blown, and I've never changed it. I was able to EQ it out, and it's still just loud and sounds great.
Sounds
like,
great.
Like I'm not even going to change it until another one blows.
The crackle adds that 5K sizzle we like. Now, the what's it called? That Crate. What is that? What was I going to say about Crate? See, the Blue Voodoo was like some series back then. I can't remember, but, and they had a good run of stuff. You know, granted I was like in diapers and stuff. So I don't really like in the 90s. I don't remember anything, but, maybe like the tail end, you know, like, but like I was in diapers through the 90s and, you know, back when they're all that good shit was coming out. But luckily my parents, you know, my dad, he was the one that showed me like classic rock and, you know, like Van Halen was the first thing he ever showed me. It blew my friggin' mind. I was like, holy crap, what is this? Like, and to me, like, cause I've heard guitar solos and stuff beforehand, I heard his playing and I was like, it's so random. It's a, you don't know where, like, it's unpredictable where Eddie goes, you yeah. know? And to that, for me, was so interesting. I connected so much to that. I was like, this is amazing. Like, you have no clue where he's about to go and do what he's about to do. And he always surprises you, always keeps it interesting. So, you know, I knew what he knew what he was doing, but I guess not really. He was just kind of like naturally just feeling it out. And always connected with that. And my dad, you know, he's always like Rush and all those like Boston and all those like 70s, 80s bands and stuff. Like he loved that stuff, you know, and he had vinyls and stuff. He brought me up on that. And then my mom sitting over here jamming like Stone Temple Pilots, and like she was stuck in like the grunge era. So that's where my introduction to the 90s was, is my mom, like Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and all the 90s guys. And then we move over to like the late 90s and Third Eye Blind and all that stuff. Like she would keep me consistent with that stuff. And then around the 2000s, I kind of took my own realm and got into like, you know, what, Green Day, Blink 182, Sum 41, all those bands, and kind of merged over. And then emo started happening and I was kind of into that. And I was like, this is cool. Like just a bunch of cool bands. And it just kept going and going and going and going. But it's always been, for me personally, guitar driven music. I connect the most with that, you know. And I love piano music. I love all music. But when there's like, it's guitar driven and, you know, it's innovated through the guitar, I connect with that the most.
Yeah. When I first checked this out, I think I said to myself, I feel like I just walked into 1997, which is, and I hope you don't take that as an insult. No, I don't mean it as an insult.
Take that as a compliment.
Like, I would tell people, for fans of Alice in Chains, I can't believe I'm saying this because I hate this band, but I don't mean that like I hate your band at all, because I do not. I like them a lot. I like it a lot, everything I've heard. And but something just like maybe 311. I hope that's not insulting. I was like, because no, I never did like no. any of their music. But I think vocally you guys are kind of similar. And the good singer, not the other guy.
Not the rapper guy. We vibe with 311. You know, that's definitely one of the, you know, influences, more so like maybe not so much their like hits and stuff, but more or less like the B-side stuff and more or less the singy stuff they put out instead of the rappy stuff. But it's all gravy, you know.
Yeah, my best friend in the late 90s, early 2000s, he is huge on 311. That's exactly what he always said. He's like, man, don't listen to the hits. Listen to the other. Let me play the other songs. I was like, no. And there was a couple I thought were good, but that guy's a good singer. That one guy, I think he's also the guitar player. Yeah. Like if I always, you know, I mean, if dude,
live, like, man, I've seen them a couple times live, and it is a show. Like, it is a, like, they need a residency at Las Vegas or something, because it's like they, you know, as much as they love touring stuff, I mean, like, dude, their show is phenomenal. They'll like do this part where they just do drum stuff, or they like throw guitars. Like, it's all crazy. And then they have energy like that, you know, being, you know, starting in like the early 90s is crazy to me. Like, it's over 30 years of tried and true trucking, you know. And you know, another thing about that band that I like is, like, when you're in that, I guess you could say, that environment, that culture, that you know, you're on the grass at Cynthia Woods or whatever, you know, and you smell the aromas seeking through the crowd and stuff. I mean, it's next level vibe stuff, just being a part of that. Very much so kind of Incubus-y vibes as well, you know.
My buddy always said that about 311 too. He's like, I didn't think much of them when I saw them on MTV. He said, when I saw them live, that was the other thing. He's like, you and him would probably agree on a whole lot. Yeah, they were like, really? You have a video out on Out of Mind Imaginations. Is that you guys, or is that a video?
That one, the one that's out on Out of Mind Imaginations is us, but it's not, on our channel, and we haven't worked with Out of Mind Imaginations in a while. So, you know, we did have sort of a falling out, and but our channel right now, we have on Key Flight Captains, I believe it's Key Flight TV, is the YouTube channel. So it's Key Flight Captains TV, T.V. And on that channel, we have our video for Heartstrings. It's a newer edit. So we have that one on there, and that's the one that Pavement's actually pushing. So I believe that's one of the only videos we have right now, currently.
Okay. Well, maybe I shouldn't have brought that up, but I thought it was a neat video.
Oh, you're okay. You're all right. No, we have nothing but love for Blake and Out of Mind Imaginations. It's just we haven't worked together in quite some time. So,
and congratulations, by the way, for signing on with Pavement. That's a really big step. I mean, it's a really good step there.
Oh man. So far, so good. Like we're knocking these press things out, and you know, thank you for the congrats. We haven't signed with them, so there's no like deal being made, but it would be cool, you know, if we could talk about something like that. But as far as I'm concerned, the only thing we've done is we took in a campaign out with them, you know, for Heartstrings. Right. So in due part, they're helping us out with streams and YouTube views, and then this press stuff, and then also we're supposed to be doing some radio stuff. I don't know if it's just strictly internet radio, some FM stuff. I don't know what's going on, but we're fixing to look into Octane, you know, and XM radio. See where we can go with that. Heartstrings might not be the format, but we'll see. Let them be the judge of that, you know.
So we're
ready to get the next one going, you know, right after, you know, we're done campaigning this song. You know, we need to get the pre-saves for our next single, which is called Year Down.
Year Down?
Yes, sir.
Like Y-E-A-R?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, just making sure the listeners know.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate that.
Before we get into that, I wanted to ask, who did the artwork for Heartstrings?
That would be me and my ex-girlfriend Sarah. We contacted and came up with that idea, and just threw something together. It was kind of quick, because quick little funny story is we released this song in a hurry because it was a competition in town for local 94.5 The Buzz, Rod Ryan show. He was doing something called Hometown for Holidays, which they take 10 bands and local bands, and they play them on the radio for a full month. Well, give them full rotation and a backstory. So like they did that, and we got chosen. But like, man, it was crazy because the mix that we got done in time was like 15 minutes to spare before the deadline, you know, and we, like, I cut vocals and guitars that day. Like it was such a mess, but we got it in and got, you know, we got in the competition, and we were one of the top 10 bands, and they played us for not just 1 month. They got so many requests and stuff that they went and did it another month to follow. So we got 2 months of rotation, and you know, we were constantly like, I don't know, we were trying to make the best of it. And we actually went to the station, met Rod and talked with him, and, you know, kind of became friends with the Buzz, you know, and the crew. So once we did that, they asked us to come play St. Patrick's Day Festival. You know, they're St. Patrick's Day Festival. So that was like at Minute Maid Park or something like that. So we did that, great gig, hundreds of people. And then we ducked out for like, I don't know, it feels like a year. But what we did was we were trying to use that position of like, we were on the radio, you know, can we get somebody to manage us? Can we get somebody to mess with us, you know? So we were looking around and Pavement, you know, was, you know, they put something out and I quickly like responded to them and hit them up and they were like, yeah, you know, let's do it. I think we'd do really well with Heartstrings. It's like, okay. So with a little bit of time and finessing, getting the video readjusted, getting the song readjusted, remixed, and getting everything ready to go for the ultimate push, we held on to it. And then finally, almost a year later, we were ready to go, you know, and we have everything kind of in the cockpit, you know, or in the chamber, it's ready to go. You know, we got more songs as well. So that's kind of where we're at with that, you know.
All right. Well, before we wrap it up, let's talk about Year Down.
Let's talk about it.
What can you leak about it so far?
Well, we submitted it. There was a chance that our fan base or local, you know, in the local area might have picked up on the song because they did air it on the 94.5 The Buzz website. But that was an unmixed version. That was like bare bones. Like we sent it in just like we did Heartstrings last minute. And, you know, thanks to my ex-girlfriend, Sarah, cause she was there the entire time helping me with stuff and feeding me. And she was just like, she was killing it and I couldn't have done it without her. But after that, you know, and she actually did help, like, you know, there was lines in the song. I was hung up on, some of the lyrical content and I was hung up and she actually helped out with that. Gave me a couple of suggestions, you know, I think one of them was the word gold. I was like, yeah, that's okay. Now paved in gold. I think we worked that line out. And then she just helped. She was really good help to bounce things off of. And, you know, it's a shame we're not together anymore, but, hindsight, like she did have a part in Year Down and, you know, the guys, Corey, we were tracking Year Down. We finished the drum track. The same, like almost the exact time that the news was announced that Taylor Hawkins, the drummer for Foo Fighters, passed away. We finished the track and we felt so, like we felt so good about the take that he got out of the drum set, went to go get a beer out of the fridge. And as he was coming back, I had to chase him like to the garage and say, dude, I just found out Taylor Hawkins died, dude. You know, and he was like, oh my God. And like, that's crazy. But we all like started talking. We're like, dude, why did that drum track like come together so effortlessly? You know, usually it takes us like a little bit to get the mustard out and get, you know, really detailed with it, but he killed it, you know? And he was like, man, maybe the spirit of Taylor, you know, like something like yeah. that. So like, you know, like the vibe of it, I don't know, bro, but we cut an amazing drum track that exact time we found out. And then it was crazy. So we've been putting together that song, a couple other ones, and we're just getting everything ready. You know, we wanted to have everything to where it was set up. You know, we didn't have to just release stuff and then do it without like a plan, you know? So Year Down, the pre-save link and stuff, we're going to launch that in the next 5 days or so. So there'll be like a 20 to 30 day pre-save, you know, and, you know, Year Down will be the first one. And that song came together real quick. It's very, it's more alternative rock than hard rock, you know? And I would say that, you know, our previous Heartstrings is a little bit more of an aggressive song and, you know, where my vocals, so I'm like raspy and stuff, but I kind of dialed it back, put a little more control on them. for this next one. And we have one other one that's kind of similar, like right in the middle of Heartstrings and You're Down. And then we have nothing but energy, high energy rock songs after that. So like a whole EP of high energy rock songs is going to be here and available before the end of the year. We'll drop some, you know, we're dropping, I guess, the Heartstrings EP. We're calling it Heartstrings EP right now. It's a working title. But I guarantee you it's going to change. Then we're just going to tidy up those 3-4 songs, put that EP out right about, I'm thinking, right as July's happening. That'll be like the EP drop. And then after that, we'll drop some more singles the next six weeks after that. And just keep it kind of going. And then we'll drop that EP probably in October, the final one for the year, and then start that cycle all back over.
Yep. Well, we're starting to run out of time here. You want to plug in a website, Bandcamp, anything like that?
KeyFlightCaptains.com. Get all your news and stuff like that. Linktree, Key Flight Captains. That link, you know, it's got all our links in there. We got Key Flight Captains on Instagram, Facebook, you know, wherever you search for us. You could probably just type us in on Google and all that stuff will pop up. So,
yep, it's a unique name.
Yeah, that's the.
It was smart. That's smart. It's a good name. It's unique.
You're the only one that hasn't asked what's the story behind that name, which I appreciate it because, it's like, you know, it means nothing. Just put it to you that way. We ran out of names. We were searching for stuff on Facebook, and everyone we thought of, you know, 30 of them, you know, was taken. So we just saw a KFC thing, like a bucket of KFC. we saw that, and we're like, you know what? Colonel Sanders would make for great merch. So, you know, just have his eyes crossed or something, you know? And, you know, we went that route. And they just saw the syllables and just tried to make up words to fit in there. And then we did. And then we tried to get away from the name after using the name for a while. And it didn't work because they were shouting KFC at our, chanting KFC at our shows and throwing drumsticks at us and shit. So we had to end up just drumsticks. Going back. And we're stuck. You know, but that's the central
drumsticks
story.
I get it.
Yeah, man. Well, Rob, it's been great, man. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, man. There will be a link to Heartstrings. There will be a link to their website. There will be a link to the pre-save in the description below. If you like this show, like this video, be sure to subscribe, hit the thumbs up, depending on the platform you're watching or listening. And I'll see you all in about the middle of June. It's your host, Rob Lyons, signing off.